finally, we have sunlight. When we start broadcasting, because Wednesday is welcome, everyone, to the Red and the Blue Soccer Chats. We are here with springing. Like Sir Mix-a-Lot. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being here with us. My name is Evan. This is A-A-Ron.
A-A-Ron.
And he hadn't messed up. Neither has his team. Aaron representing Manchester
Not
United.
Recently, no.
Me representing Chelsea. You know, we've got some good stuff to talk about tonight, man.
It is really good stuff. For a change, I think we both come into this show with a little bit of excitement. And I wore the Believe shirt. That's what you got to do.
Hey, as a fan,
you got to believe.
There it is.
And we'll get to Belief a little bit later.
Beliefs.
Evan, how's your week been?
My week been? It's been good. It really has. It's been good. I will say this. Every day I am able to wake up and say I have all my faculties about me, that I'm able to, you know.
So you are faculty with
faculties. Faculty with faculties.
There you go.
And you know what? If I'm upright and breathing, then I'm living a dream, man. So how about you? What's up with you?
Nah, man. I had a pretty good weekend. Can't lie. Enjoyed my weekend.
Yes.
On many levels. And
what levels were those?
The week's been good.
What alcohol blood levels were? What?
Yeah, well, I made the very, very smart decision to get a ride up and
Yay!
Then Uber home.
As
you all should. Or actually, I believe I chose Lyft.
We lubered. So anyway.
We lifter bird.
Lifter.
There was alcohol consumption, both from the soccer game and St. Paddy's Day.
But so St. Paddy's Day was a huge day. I mean, it was big day. You know, it was a big day for Chelsea, but mm-hmm. it was an absolutely monstrous day.
I think you got two really good, from a neutral's perspective, exciting football matches in the FA Cup. I guess we might as well hop in. Obviously, you know, Chelsea started strong. We're up 2-0. Really looked to be cruising.
Yep.
And then kind of an unfortunate, flukish own goal. I'm not sure that you even try to put blame here, because he gets hit as he's trying to pass it back. The one thing I notice is that
De Sassi. Yeah.
He did not know where his goalkeeper was.
No, he didn't.
You can tell that even the miss hit, or he got bumped as he hit it.
Yeah.
When he looked up, he realized it doesn't matter that happened. I was passing to where my goalkeeper was not.
Well, when he looked up, hey, wait a minute now. Let's just, you know. Thank you, my friend. That was nice. That was very nice. I think he looked up and he thought about it. He thought about this. He was like, oh, my gosh, I hope the first row of fans can't smell poop because I just crapped my pants. It was unfortunate, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was just unfortunate. It was one of those things. You saw Sanchez come up. Chilwell come up and be like, dude, it's okay.
It's part of the game, but... You know, our clubs are a little fragile right now, and Leicester saw it as an opportunity to get themselves in the game, and for the next 15 minutes, they really did.
Yeah.
I think the sending off obviously works in your favor.
Yep.
I'm thinking in that position, and it was probably ultimately the correct call, but I think in that position you're like, he can stay on the field, but we'll take the penalty. we'd rather have the goal.
Right, yes, yes.
But, to their credit, Chelsea stuck at it, and the rest of that half was just more of them. I think they took, like 20-some shots on goal.
26
shot attempts.
8 shots on goal. So
eight on goal.
Not bad, dude. That's
And they scored 4 goals. So, ultimately it paid off, and you kind of felt like it was going to happen. But I want to talk about two specific things.
Okay.
And take these in whichever order you would like.
Sure, sure.
How important is Cole Palmer to the success of Chelsea right now? And how concerned are you that Chelsea have a tendency to, even in matches where they get a lead and appear to be in control, struggle to kind of close it out?
Let me answer the first one, or second one first.
Sure.
2 months ago, I am more concerned than I am now. And here's why, is because we see this from teams and clubs that are established, that are good, that are just, you know, that you find a way to win. Mm-hmm. I think Chelsea has this thing about them that 3 or 4 times during a match, you literally sit there and you're like, what the hell are we doing? Like, what are we doing right now? And I think that's two things. Number one, that is a manager who is trying to solidify the team, asking his team to do stuff that they're not quite comfortable with yet. And then number two, I think it's youth. I think it's age. Has a lot to do with that. And they are still, in this process, learning to play together during the season. That, you know, we don't have very much time left in the season. And what you're starting to see is you're starting to see a gel take place here.
Yeah.
They're starting to gel. Mm-hmm. I still wonder about substitutions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what Nicholas Jackson has done as far as to endear himself to Pochettino. But Nicholas Jackson creates wonderful chaos when he's out on the field. And the problem is that's okay, but there are times when we absolutely need to put a game away.
Yeah.
And he's not capable of putting a game away.
I think one thing that's working in his favor right now is you're just not deep enough.
Yes.
There's not a lot of serious competition at that position to unseat him, and therefore I think Pac has made a decision of, this is what I've got, so I'm going to stick by him. It's almost like Antony for United for a little while.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
we don't really have a ready-made replacement for this guy, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to just put him out there and give him games and say, I hope you come good.
And, you know, last show, I was saying, why don't you put, you know, Raheem Sterling there? Well, I got to thinking about this, and you're absolutely right. It's not Raheem Sterling's strength to play a 9.
Mm-hmm.
It's not his strength. Yeah. And I think that after you said that, now that I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, okay, yeah, who do we do that? Who do we put there? I mean, do we risk another injury to him and put Nkunku there? I don't think so. I think, you know, like you said before, I think that we continue to slow roll him back into the lineup and to show for next year, next season, say, hey, we're going to be that much better when this guy is fit, he's healthy, and he can withstand injury.
Yeah, I don't think risking him in a situation where, I think if you make a late season push here, find yourself in 7th place or something like that.
Yeah.
Then maybe it'll be tempting to start him a bit more, integrate him a little bit more.
See,
but I think in a season where you're like, you know, this is who we are, let's not harm him.
Right.
Because he's the future.
I think that's where we're going to land, because I was going to ask you this tonight to kind of, you know, with, I don't know, 10 weeks, 9 weeks left?
Something like that.
Yeah. To just kind of predict where Man U's going to land, I do think Chelsea will finish 8th.
Okay. Yeah.
I think we'll finish 8th.
I can see that.
We'll be top of the table. I think we can get past West Ham and Brighton by the way we're playing now. Like I said, I see this gelling happening. And so that answers the second question. I'm not too concerned, because a team that's on the come up, on the rise, they will find a way to win. And I'm loving what I'm seeing about Chelsea. The other thing I was going to say about that is that, you know, when you're watching a match and all of a sudden your team starts to build and they start to build a play, they start to build something, and it's actually, and it turns into a goal, you can feel it. Like, you're like, okay, this is going to work. This looks good. I'm starting to get those instances with Chelsea.
Yeah.
I'm starting to see Chelsea put things together. Their passes are sharper. They're quicker. They're moving toward the ball. They're able to get more and more guys there. I'm liking what I'm seeing. And so that's why I'm not too concerned with the kind of mid-second half lull. I will be concerned when we start playing more of the top-tier teams.
Mm-hmm.
To have a performance like we had against City, that took 90 minutes of concentration, making sure that you were solid.
Yes.
Once again, De Sassi and Caicedo, that was their best game so far this year. And that's what you need from all your guys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The first question, Cole Palmer, I mean, this guy is, he is literally our Phil Foden. He's our Foden. He is our...
the irony of that.
I know.
Given that the reason he probably left City was because he couldn't get...
He couldn't get playing time there. But he is literally that person. He's our Foden. Our, for Man U, he would be our... not Bruno. He's our Eriksen when Eriksen was playing really sharp and when he was really playing well with
link up play.
Yes, link up play. He's that kind of player, and I just see him starting to heat back up.
Yeah.
There were a couple matches that he, you know, kind of got cold.
Yeah.
But he's really found himself a home at Chelsea, I think. And I think that as long as we're able to continue developing these guys and letting them play together consistently, we're going to see things like this. Blues fans, we're going to lose leads. We just are. We're going to lose leads. But we are starting to develop the wherewithal in order to get the lead back.
So the international break, you know, comes at a time for both of us where, you know, we're trying to build some momentum. You know, obviously want guys to go off and play well with their national teams because I think that's beneficial.
Yep.
But the downside of that is, you know, guys immediately report. And do you know the extent of Cole Palmer's injury?
I do not. Okay. I do not.
All they said was he did not train. He trained by himself, meaning he did
yes.
private workout. Harry Kane he came into camp and they knew he was injured. So I think a lot of this is precautionary. I'm not so sure because the fact that he still went in and did some work leads me to believe it's maybe a light muscle strain or a knock of some sort. And you don't want to risk that stuff, especially when everybody wants to play against Brazil at Wembley or wherever it is. But
yes. I'm looking.
It's a friendly.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think you're like, okay, I'm glad to be called up, but ultimately let's not risk things.
Yes, and I agree with that. I'm not seeing anything like, oh, my God, Cole Palmer's isn't it?
Right.
It's probably a tweak. It's, you know, probably better than I do. It's probably like an ankle or a quad or something like that. Hopefully it's not a quad because that stuff can take a long time to come back.
Well, if it were serious, what tends to be the trend is if it's a more serious injury, they send the player back home so he can rehabilitate with his club. So the fact that he's sticking around leads me to believe that, one, Southgate wants him to be a part of this group.
Yes.
And two, it probably isn't that serious. You're right. Maybe he tweaked an ankle, somebody stepped on his foot kind of thing, and you're just like, do the light workout, do the bike, do the pool, do weight work, whatever you're doing, tactical stuff in the classroom kind of thing, and be ready to go tomorrow or, you know, whenever. They don't play till Saturday, so it's not that big of a deal. And, and again, it's a friendly. They're going to chop and change. They're going to make, probably a lot of substitutes in the second half.
Yes. Football London reports Cole Palmer sparks massive Chelsea injury scare after England's statement. Chelsea injury news is Cole Palmer not involved in full team training with his country on first day of England camp. It seems like, you know, he's training, and it says he's training indoors.
Yeah, until more comes out, I'm just not going to get too concerned because, like I said, if it were a real problem, they'd send him home. This isn't camp right before the World Cup.
Right.
You're like, we're keeping guys together for camaraderie's sake.
Yes,
you know.
And it says Palmer is one of several players on the three Lions. You know what I mean? So
they're aware.
I'm not worried about it too much. And once again, these guys, they have the best, you know, best medical crews around that you could ever have. So they're going to take good care of him. I think he'll be okay. Yeah. I could be okay.
So you kind of touched on it. Your prediction is 8th?
Yeah, I think 8th. Okay. So now I'm going to, I mean, may I?
You may.
Not the drunk crowd. There we go. There you go, my friend. All right, so we are going to the city of Manchester, which we all know is owned by the Red Devils. Okay, so let's talk Man U. You know, I have one thing for you. Mm-hmm. How's your heart?
Dude, that, I mean, that game was absolutely crazy. It reminds me so much of what I fell in love with about this club.
Man,
the excitement with the way they play, the willingness to say we could get scored on.
Yeah.
And say but we'll find another. And you know, when you hear things about, you know, club history and DNA and, mm-hmm. And it sounds, you know, kind of froofy language, but the reality is some of these, it's in their identity. And it's not to say that other clubs can't or haven't done this, but there becomes this sort of expectation. And I think players feel that. And I think you saw something in the way that those players rebounded from,
man.
I mean, they started so strong. They started so strong.
Yeah, they did.
And like you were talking about how when you know, teams start to gel and you start noticing these patterns of play and, you know, a counterattack happens and you lean in because you're like, oh, I've seen what we're going to do here.
Yeah.
And I feel good about this.
Yeah.
And United had probably another good 2 to 3 of those chances before about halfway through the second half, when Liverpool gained a foothold, began making United sit just a little bit deeper.
Which is what good teams do.
Absolutely. Right? I mean, Liverpool is at a better place in their development, obviously, with what they've done in the last few years. But I think it's testament to United that, you know, they did get taken advantage of. They got pulled apart a little bit, and they gave up 2 goals right at the end of the second half. And the whistle came at the right time, because I think if they'd have played another 5 minutes, it might have been 3-1. But they had a chance to go into the locker room, regroup, and I felt like it was a pretty even affair.
Oh yeah.
For most of that. I remember specifically talking about the stats at halftime and at full time, right before going into extra time. And I think United were just shading it in most categories. I think they had 11 shots and like 8 on goal or something like that, and Liverpool were 10 and 5 or some, you know, something like that. And certainly at the end of the game, it was very close. I know overall, I think United took 28 shots.
Yep.
28 shots with 11 on target. Liverpool, 25 shots, 11 on target. We got 7 goals. I mean, to me, the beauty was, one, United said never say die, got a goal through an unlikely character in Antony, and especially him swiveling onto his, you know, shifting it to his right foot and getting a goal. Rashford, you know, just working his ass off all day long, gets the equalizer. And then Ahmad, a guy who's kind of...
How about... Yes.
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
Oh, wait a minute.
Wait.
Halftime.
It's halftime.
There
and
we go.
As always, want to say a big shout out to Chatham Tap. And also, this is a chance to remind you that coming up on Thursday, April 4th at 3:15 in the afternoon is the annual Red and Blue Soccer Chat Derby Watch Party between Chelsea and Manchester United. We will be here. We'll be watching the game and talking about it and talking trash and talking to everybody in the bar.
Talking trash.
And generally reveling in the beauty of football.
Yes.
So
yes.
Hope you can join us for that. It's an afternoon. Clear your schedule right now. That's what we've had to do.
Yeah.
And but thank you, as always, to Chatham Tap and our
Chatham.
Tip your servers.
Yes.
Tip well. Tip over 20%.
Oh, wow.
If you can. We're all in this together.
You said tip a lot. I was waiting for you to say other things. For you to say other things. But anyway.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, we what I thought was cool was a couple weeks ago, there was a cup final between Liverpool and Chelsea.
Yes.
And both teams seemed a bit hesitant to go for it. And I'm a little bit more critical of Chelsea in that situation because, in my opinion, this is your one chance for a trophy.
Yes.
Like, you throw caution in the wind.
Yep.
And also, you're more at full strength. Yes, you're going to extra time and guys are getting tired, but Liverpool have injuries and they've brought on a bunch of kids. And those kids are a little bit scared. They're not quite sure what to do. And both teams kind of sat back.
Yes.
And ultimately, Virgil van Dijk said, I'm going to settle this.
Right.
By contrast, in this game, United did say, this is our only chance at a trophy. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get our hands on it.
Let's get it.
Liverpool are thinking, this is our chance at, you know, a second trophy.
Possible.
And we're going for a quadruple and all that jazz. And everybody went for it. And it was just balls to the wall. Still good football, but, I mean, gaps were appearing. I got to say this.
There you go. There you go.
Bruno ran himself into the ground.
He
got clipped multiple times, laid on, couldn't walk, and essentially took on the center back slash quarterback role. Harry Maguire was staying for it. I mean, I think we were basically playing a 1-9 at that point.
he was like, you guys go.
He did, and you know, they were still managing. Interesting situation. Anthony finished the game at left back. And he was not happy about it, but he did do the job.
Yes. And he scored.
He got himself a goal. And then Ahmad, you know, comes on, has not had a lot of opportunities, showed a big spark. And then at the very end, you know, it's kind of a poor corner from Liverpool. Ahmad charges it down. It ends up at the feet of, in my opinion, the man of the match. I'm tempted to give it to Bruno because what he did, but Garnacho is literally involved in every goal that United scores.
There you go.
He is a part of everything.
He played the whole match.
And he ran himself to death. And for a 19-year-old kid to show the level of heart and desire and poise and composure that he did throughout that game, this guy's a future superstar, and I hope it's with Manchester United in the long run. But that was an instant classic of a game. And when you've got Liverpool fans walking over saying, that was a great game, you know, and I said it back, either team were worthy of winning that game. I'd have been disappointed, but the relief that I felt and how happy I was, and what you have to realize is you can't play that game if as the players, they don't believe in one another.
Yeah.
That they don't believe in themselves, one another, and the ability of that crowd to elevate them.
Yes.
And they blew the roof off that place when they scored that goal.
I mean, I can't imagine the cleanup that had to happen that next day, man. It was like, it'd probably be like the Buffalo Bills stadium. They're trying to get people to shovel snow.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just that.
It was incredible. Crazy. And you know, you could literally, I think, talk about every player that got on the field for Man U in that game. And Cobby, especially, I thought, had a great game. He did get taken off. His legs were waning a little bit.
Sure.
He got called up to the U21s, and then while he was called up, he's been called up now to the senior squad because a couple players had to drop out. And if we get an opportunity to see what I think we're about to see, Jude Bellingham, Declan Rice, and Kobbie Mainoo in central midfield.
Oh, my God.
And then you can have any combination of Bukayo Saka, Phil Foden, Jadon Sancho, Marcus Rashford, Raheem Sterling, Jack Grealish, Harry Kane, the guy from Villa that's doing so well, the guy from West Ham that's doing so well, Jared Bowen, Ollie Watkins. I mean, what England has,
they're stacked.
Available to them is stacked, amazing.
Man. They're stacked. I do have one question for you, though. Were you happy that Antony scored? And is this just delaying the inevitable? Or has he, over the course of the last couple games, proven his worth and is going to stay on the squad?
Well,
I know it's hard. I know it's a tough question, but
he's not done enough in the sense of what he needs to be doing. I don't think they get rid of him though, because they would be taking a massive loss on him.
Big loss.
And I think they're in a position to look at this objectively and say, yes, there are a handful of players that we need to move on because of age or they're not working out for a variety of reasons.
Yeah.
And it's tempting to get rid of Anthony. He's not performed well. He's had two seasons to prove it. But I'm not making excuses. Few teams have had the level of injuries consistently and in such... I mean, I don't know if they've played their first choice back line in five total games this season. Missing Lisandro Martinez and Luke Shaw for most of the season. So there's your entire left-sided defense turning into attack. And by the way, two of the best ball-playing left-footers defensively in the game.
I'd take Luke Shaw over almost anybody.
I mean, at his on his day, he's tremendous.
Yes.
So when you don't have that, and quite frankly, we haven't had our backup has been hurt all season. Tyrell hasn't played a single game this year. So, you know, we're making do. Lindelof was at left back. Anthony was at left back. We've played Amrabat there. You know, I can't imagine, you know, being where Ten Hag was, you know, 8-9 months ago entering this season thinking, okay, we won a trophy last year. Things are looking good. I got all these guys. And then one by one, these players start dropping. And you're like, well, what squad could recover from this other than a Manchester City who has got two or three guys at every position and youth that they can bring in ready to go?
Yeah.
You know, United are, you know, it's a good thing that the youth program is as good as it is because, I mean, you know, Garnacho, Ahmad, Kambwala has gotten some time recently. Mm-hmm. I mean, but it's still not deep enough yet.
Let me ask you one more question, if I may. You know, being a Chelsea guy, I want to ask you. Mount looked good coming in. You know, well, who did he come in for? Lindelof. He came in for Lindelof.
Yeah.
Mount looked solid.
Yeah.
However, I would like to get your opinion. Is he a fit? Is he not a fit? Or are you not sure yet?
I don't think we know. I really don't think we know because didn't really get that many opportunities to demonstrate it early on. And
he got injured.
He got injured. Other players got injured. He's really worked hard to come back. I don't know what his best position is in general. Like, I really don't. He played multiple positions for Chelsea. Yes,
right.
I kind of felt that inside left position was nice for him. Well, on a team with Garnacho and Rashford, you're
That's
not getting
gonna be
that.
Hard.
Can you play more centrally? Can you switch wings? Can you play as a false nine, which got used at a couple times at Chelsea, and kind of help the attack with Hoyland? Mm-hmm. And I think that'll be the biggest test of him is how flexible is he willing to be? Can he find his own place in this team? And can him and Ten Hag come up with a rapport that says, I'm going to use you in these two or three different ways?
Yeah.
Is this going to work? Because there's a good player in there. My fear is he's, you know, more Ross Barkley. You know, never quite gets there.
Oh, boy. I hope not.
So I don't know. Because I like him. You know, I've never, you know, been... anti-Mason Mount. I wasn't sure about the move, but he was a player that was available and we needed to take some chances.
Sure.
I think there's an element of that to it. There are so many question marks right now simply because of the new ownership.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was an article today that said even if Ten Hag wins the FA Cup, he's not going to stay. But it's all speculative at this point. These conversations are happening behind closed doors, and if somebody's being a big enough asshole to be leaking that, much like the players that we didn't like, then those are executives that need to go too.
Absolutely.
We cannot have this at the club.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we now come to the part of the show that we talk about the Patriots.
Yes, the men and the women.
The women.
Yes.
Just won the very first Gold Cup.
Yes.
Which, an impressive style. Like, not impressive in the way that we expect, like a 4-0, 5-0.
Yeah, not like a sweeping aside, like that. But...
But a gritty, in my opinion, a gritty American performance.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think anybody embodies that more than Alyssa Nair.
Oh, man.
You know, the U.S. was winning that game, got tied up. Went into extra time. U.S. was winning that game. And, you know, Nair made a mistake. She didn't judge the flight of the ball correctly. She does take out the player. It's an appropriate call for a penalty. And you know, going into PKs, she would have wanted to atone for that. And, absolutely, you know, making three saves and then scoring a penalty of your own as a goalkeeper, I don't know that you can do much more than that. And
that, is
and
the
that
ultimate,
was really impressive.
As a keeper, that is the ultimate boss move, yep, right there. I mean, if you, yep, can stop three PKs, mm-hmm, and then step up and score your own.
And I would say she stopped them. I think one of them was maybe a, yeah, poor penalty, but it's the kind of penalty where if the goalkeeper dives the wrong way, it's still going in.
Absolutely.
I think Nair did a great job of waiting and reading the shooters, which you can do in the women's game a little bit more.
Yep.
You can afford to wait on them just a little bit because the power behind the shot isn't quite there. That said, if you're a female penalty taker, you're probably looking at, you know, at high corners a little bit more than in the men's game because, you know, a 6'7" Thibaut Courtois has the quicks and the ability to make that jump.
Oh, man.
Versus a lot of the female goalkeepers
Chelsea,
don't.
Chelsea guy.
This is, you know, you play the game that's in front of you.
Yes.
But I thought they played great. I thought we saw the future really stepping in. Lindsay Rand is a very, very good coach, and Alex Morgan was out there kind of doing her veteran part, leading the way, but, you know, Nyswanger, Shaw, Sophia Smith, Trinity Rodman.
Yes.
I mean, there are a number of players that we should be very, very excited about coming through the women's ranks. Women's sports in general is taking off.
Yes, it is.
It's going gangbusters. There are more tickets sold for the women's Final Four thus far than for the men's.
Yep.
The TV coverage has been outrageous. Arsenal women yet again set another attendance record. I mean, it's crazy. And it's very much, I'm going to keep saying it, if you build it, they will come. The market was ready to take,
yes,
advantage of this.
Yep.
All you had to do was give them a handful of superstars to rally around. And we've got our, you know, in the international game, Sam Kerr, Christine Sinclair,
yes,
these women who've shown the way, and now this next generation. And it's so funny to talk about Sam Kerr as being a veteran because she's been around for so long. And she started at like 16.
I'm the same way with Millie Bright. Like, she's
right,
like one of my favorite, like, gritty players. And
absolutely.
She's like, what, 31?
Yeah.
30, 31? But here's the thing. Here's what I love about this team, and here's why we should get so excited about this team. Not because, you know, Emma's coming to town. That's something to be excited about.
That's a pretty good reason.
That's something to be excited about. But it seems like the adage is true for us. We are not rebuilding. We are reloading.
Yeah.
And that is where you want to be. I think that the USA women's team is reloading. I think that we have the,
yes,
makings of possibly one of the greatest women's teams that we've ever put on the field.
Potentially.
I think that because of our youth, and because of where we are already, because of our youth, I think that Emma Hayes can come in and she can work her magic like she's done at Chelsea and can absolutely turn this group into world-class champions that we can win the World Cup. Maybe. Three times.
Well, and the quality and proliferation of women's professional club football in the last probably just 5-6 years has been amazing, right?
Yeah.
Never before have the top players had multiple choices of leagues, multiple opportunities,
yeah,
to express themselves. It's you know, usually just been a handful, and, you know, if one team loads up on all those players, then of course you're going to have overwhelming success. But you got Barcelona, you got Arsenal, PSG, Man U, Chelsea leading the league right now.
Yeah.
And then all the teams in the United States in the NWSL.
And we're signing
level of
people
play.
For,
yeah,
like,
for real,
for
quality
money.
Quality money now.
That's
so,
the thing.
I think we're just going to continue to see it in much the same way that, you know, like, Angel Reese, Caitlin
Clark.
I mean, that their NIL deals are massive. They, Sabrina Ionescu has her own shoe.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool, by the way.
Yeah.
It's actually a very, very cool shoe.
There you go.
So the women's game is finally being taken as seriously and as importantly as the men's game, and that's only going to spell more success for, I think, the United States women's national team in particular, but I think the women's game in general.
Yes.
And you know, we saw the draw today for the Olympics. I believe they've got, Germany and Morocco, if I have that correctly. I know the men drew France in one of their groups. I think this is a wonderful time. I kind of wish I had, like, daughters right now. It'd be super.
Oh, my goodness.
It'd be super cool to be.
USA, Germany, Australia, and then I think there's a play-in.
Yeah.
Game. So,
but, I mean,
if you
had school age daughters right now and to be able to point to Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, Trinity Rodman, Sophia Smith, all of these wonderful female athletes that are finally able to express themselves too.
Yep. As a girl dad.
Yeah.
Like, literally, like if I had hair on my arm because I had to shave it, it would be standing up. Because right now, women's sports are on the rise, and they are absolutely just phenomenal in showing these young girls the fact that, you know what, you can be excited about going into a sport. You can condition yourself and be okay with getting your college degree, but then moving on to a professional sport. It's amazing to see this.
Barack Obama said it best: these girls are badass.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, "Don't boo, vote.
Don't boo." Vote.
There you go.
Talk about the men real quick. Okay, They've got a game tomorrow night in the CONCACAF Nations League. I think we've brought in a pretty strong squad for it. It'll be interesting to see who ultimately gets used for it. I believe it's the only game for the men during the international break. It's certainly the only competitive match, so they might
tomorrow
have a friendly.
Yep.
But, you know, I think this is a chance for them to put down a marker and say, we are the dominant team in the region.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter which competition we're in.
Yep.
We can field a team for that competition if we want to. We can field a BC team if we need to and still beat you because of what we've got going on. And what we have going on is several players playing at an incredibly high level. I mean, top teams. This isn't, somebody's doing really, really well for like a mid-tier German team.
Right.
This is Christian Pulisic. Just scoring goals and assisting for fun at AC Milan. Weston McKennie is got to be in the conversation of the top young center midfielders in the game right now. His assists have been sick.
Yep.
Yunus Musa, Tim Weah. But we've also got Josh Sargent scoring goals for fun at Norwich City. Pepe is looking great. Dest is crushing it at PSV. Just pretty much everywhere on the pitch, we've got it going on, and I'm sick of the Gio Reyna conversation.
I am too. But the expansion of our men, into international markets, into international, you know, leagues and things like that, is the number one reason why.
Absolutely.
It's got to be the number one reason why we're able to put a team on the field.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say it. It's the number one reason why we're able to put a men's team on the field that feels the same way as when we put a women's team on the field.
Yeah, I think we need to. I think the mentality needs to be we belong in every tournament that we're in. And not just that we belong, but that we should be fighting to advance.
Yep.
And putting ourselves in a position to win. Are we going to win the Copa America? I don't know. But I very, very much expect us to be competitive.
Yeah.
I expect us to win the Nations League, and then I expect us to go on to the 2026 World Cup, and I expect to make the semifinals.
My prediction, we win Copa.
Mm.
Win.
Wow.
Copa. And we make the semifinals
of the
World Cup. I'm serious. This is the time, ladies and gentlemen.
He said it, and I second it.
This is the time.
I'm with it.
We win Copa.
It's now or never. This is the best generation and the best grouping of players we've ever been able to put out on the field.
Best age of players we have.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
they're not too old.
Absolutely.
And they're not so young that they don't know.
Ironically, our only question mark, I think, is at goalkeeper, which has historically been an incredibly strong position for us.
Yes,
and I like Matt Turner.
I like Matt.
But I think some of these young guys over the next couple of years might make a case as to why, hey, we love Matt Turner, but he started the game late. His footwork, his positioning is maybe not as good as it could be.
Sure.
But for him to do what he's done in the last few weeks and kind of revamp that reputation, winning a shootout, making some big late game saves, I'm very happy, and I'm excited for this. So,
well, there you go. And ladies and gentlemen, you know what that does. That brings us to the segment that all of the drunk crowd loves.
Yes.
It is the yellow card, red card segment of our podcast. All the drunk crowd loves it because they are already on yellow card, so they already
they are Amad Diallo.
They are loyal.
I forgot I was on a yellow. I didn't mean to take my shirt off.
They are loyal. I mean, they are loyal. So here's the deal. Aaron's going to give two yellow cards and then one red card, and I am going to just get out of the way and make some snide comments on the side whenever you do the thing. So you're going to be the Johnny Carson, and I'm going to be the Ed McMahon.
Excellent.
All right.
Excellent.
So, my friend, first, yellow card. Who does that go to this week?
Oh, I didn't give this enough thought this week, so I'm going to have to kind of pause for a second.
Okay.
But I think the first thing I'm going to say is...
and remember, ladies and gentlemen... this can be about anything. It doesn't necessarily have to be about
the beautiful sport. It can be. I try to keep it to soccer for the first part of it.
Yeah, you know. But it can be about anything. So, you know, I mean, it can be about cartoons. I mean,
yeah. I haven't thought about cartoons lately. You can see I'm stalling because
I know. And I'm trying to fill for you.
Didn't give this any thought.
There you go. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, sometimes you ref a game and everybody... Place fair.
May I?
You may. I'll let you have
the first yellow card.
Yeah.
The first yellow card.
I need to give some thought to this here.
I am going to give a yellow card to Virgil van Dijk.
Mm.
I noticed at the end of the match, Virgil left the field.
Oh, didn't clap the fans.
He clapped the fans, but then he left the field, didn't interact with any of the United players or anything like that. Virgil, you know what, dude? You're too good of a player to not go over and congratulate somebody after an enormously awesome match like that. You're too veteran of a player. I'm giving you a yellow card for that, brother. I'm sorry, but, you know, I know that you might be salty. You lost to United. But, dude, you got to give them their due. So I'm giving you a yellow card on that.
I'm going to pour some lime juice in that wound.
Mm.
And I'm going to upset some people here.
Yellow card.
And I'm going to say...
who gets the next yellow card?
No. I'm just going to piggyback on that.
Oh, piggyback.
And say that Virgil van Dijk is not one of the top five best English center backs in the Premier League. It's just not. He's been a tremendous leader for that club at a time when they have experienced a level of success that they've not had before. And he scored some very, very important goals. But... I have always thought he's a good defender, but he has never been a defender that I thought top players would fear.
Yeah.
Ask some of these guys that were big-time players what they thought about playing against John Terry, Nemanja Vidic.
There you go.
Saul Campbell.
Yep.
Okay. Virgil van Dijk is positionally very solid, but...
he's a big guy.
Age has come for him.
Yes.
And... he's beaten off the dribble far too easily, and it's hard to say this because he's very, very good. He's a very, very good player, and
beating off the dribble.
He's been a very, very good captain for Liverpool.
Yes, yes, yes.
He's not one of the all-time greats.
No,
in the Premier League for the center backs.
No,
so,
no. Oh, there it is. There it is. Wait, the drunk crowd.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay. Do you a second yellow card?
I'm gonna switch gears here.
Okay, switch gears.
Yellow card to the NCAA selection committee for. Yes, we're biased here. Leaving Indiana State out, and not just leaving Indiana State out, but for Virginia. Virginia scored 17 points in the first half yesterday. 17 points. And you left Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
No.
Larry Nerd.
No.
Steph Blurry. You left him at home. So you could watch the Virginia Cavaliers score 17 points in the first half of an NCAA play-in game. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Larry Nerd, and Steph Blurry.
Every once in a while I cry at this podcast, and that's what I'm doing right now. All right, my friend, the red card goes to...
If this isn't obvious, I mean, you'll sense a pattern here, folks, but red card to congressional Republicans.
Oh!
You know, as one of the congressmen said today, for months now, we've been told about all this implicating evidence and how much Hunter Biden is an albatross, the Joe Biden family,
impeachment,
and that he's implicating his father and all this stuff. And they haven't laid a fucking glove of evidence on Hunter, other than showing pictures of him being naked at a party, which, I'll be honest, you're all jealous of. You're all absolutely jealous that Hunter's getting some.
Where I thought you were going to go.
You're absolutely all jealous of it. But even further,
when I was at Cincinnati Bible College,
everything that has come out has been the exact opposite of what you want. You literally had your star witness today implicate all of the Trump administration as being puppets of Russian agents and counterintelligence. And, I mean, so much winning.
I know.
So much winning. So, I'm just, you know, if you would all just quietly apologize and go away, we won't stop making fun of you.
That doesn't happen. That doesn't happen.
But you won't keep putting yourselves in this situation.
Yeah.
Can you see which people went to law school and practiced, and which people went to law school and
drank beer?
Kind of fluffed. I like beer.
Well,
I like beer.
I like beer. I like beer. Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen,
real men like vodka
or Jameson. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for watching. Yes, that was a good yellow red card segment right there.
Thank you for jumping in there. I needed a little help there.
I got you. So, ladies and gentlemen, what this does is this brings us to the end. Oh, okay, my
all
friend.
Right. We have to wrap it up.
This brings us to the end of the show and brings us to our final segment, which is the Aaron's Final Thoughts segment.
Yes.
And, you know, this is, I think, just by reading your body language and everything like that, this is going to be a good one. I'm excited about it. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes.
Aaron, what do you got for us, bro?
I got something I've touched on before, but this weekend was just such an opportunity to say it. And I wore the shirt. I wore the Believe shirt. And I've talked about it a little bit before. But this is games like this weekend are what make you a fan. Yeah. Chelsea completely in charge of a game against a championship side, an opportunity to advance the semifinals of the FA Cup, the most storied cup competition in all of football, in all of sport. And then they found themselves a little pushback. Made a mistake. Other team jumped on them. Tied things up. But they said no.
Yeah.
No. This is our chance. This is our opportunity. And they rallied. And as a fan, it's what you want to see from the players. But even more importantly, the players got a boost from the fans. The fans could turn on Chelsea. They've even kind of spoken out, like, we're not sure where things are going. But the reality is, when you're in that stadium and the momentum of the game is swinging, it's your job as a fan to be there for your players, even when they're not playing as well as they could, because you might be the one, your voice might contribute to thousands of people lifting this team up and saying, go for it. And that's what happened, right? Got to the very end, and Chelsea said, no, we're ending this before it gets to penalties. We're not doing this again. We're not putting ourselves through that kind of mental stress, that physical stress, all of it. We're ending this game. Two goals in injury time, and they said, we're off to Wembley. And then you know what? Manchester United, a team up against their arch rival, But you know what they said? They walked out at Old Trafford like every team. I don't care if they're in first place or last place in the Premier League. What every team who pulls on that shirt at Old Trafford has to do, and that is play for that badge and play for the 76,000 some odd fans in that stadium and say, we are here for you. And when the going got tough late in that game, that Old Trafford crowd said, we're here back for you. And that is what it means to be a fan of these clubs, to be there when you're needed, to stand up and be counted and be ready to support your team when a guy's looking down, a guy's looking, you know. One of the best things I saw this weekend was Marcus Rashford had an opportunity in the game in regular time. Christian Eriksen punched this great little chip over the defense. Marcus cushions it beautifully, very next move, rolls it. And the goalie did a great job of coming out on him. He just couldn't, he couldn't bend his foot, he couldn't put his, wrap his foot around it. And it rolls past the post, and you think, oh, opportunity gone. And damn it, you can't squander opportunities against Liverpool. And Marcus, face down, pounding the ground. And Bruno is there to run over and pick him up and say, no, we got you. And you know what? 10 minutes later, 15 minutes later, Marcus is scoring the goal that ties the game up, that gives us an opportunity to win it, and then we go on. And if you've never heard anything like it, watch the YouTube video from the stands. From the video from the stands. Not the game, not the feed. I'm talking about the fans in the stands recording it. It's deafening. That's what it means to be a fan. And that's what it means to love one another, folks. And we love you. Thank you for tuning in. We're so happy to have you guys. Reminder, April 4th is the Red and Blue Soccer Chat Derby Watch Party at 3:15 in the afternoon. I think we may have a show the night before. I'm not sure where we are. So you might be able to double up on us in a week. And we love to get doubled up on.
And with
so
that.
Be sure to tune in.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. This is the Red and Blue Soccer Chat presented by The Evan and Aaron Show. We love you. Hashtag Black People Vote.
Hashtag Say Gay.
Peace.
Peace.
I'm surprised we didn't.